And at the base of the Mount of Olives was a place called the Garden of Gethsemane. And he went there. As he went there before, he went on this time. In other words, he did not hide. He did not try to cover up. As he had prayed, where he had prayed before was the place that he seeked out so that he can go and talk to the Father. Can I ask a question in here today? How many of y'all got a place that you can go? It might be in your house. It may be a room in your house. It might be setting out your car. Praise God. So that when trials come, you can't sit in the house because others may be in there. Praise God, making all kinds of noise, but you can go and seek somewhere where you can be quiet and you can be alone with the Lord. You can talk to him, and guess what? He can talk back to you. Praise God. So Jesus went to the Mount of Olives like he's always been. He wasn't trying to hide anything because he already knew what Judas was going to do. So he wasn't going to try to escape, praise God, what laid before him. He went to that same place. And the only difference, the scripture tells us that he used to sneak off to the Mount of Olives on himself. Praise God. Go down in the Garden of Gethsemane so that he can take some time to seek God. But the only thing that he did this time was that he took his disciples with him. Oh Lord, hallelujah. There's a reason why he took those disciples with him. Like I said, each of us ought to have a place where we can go, that when we are troubled, when there is a hard decision that we got to make, we got a child who is going through some stuff. We are getting ready to go through some stuff. They're about to foreclose on your house. They're about to repossess your car. But that ought to be a place, praise God, that you could seek, where you can get alone and talk with the Master. Praise God. So that's what Jesus, that's what he did. And when he got to the Mount of Olives, he told his disciples, he said, now I want y'all to start praying. Amen. And he said, now I can't pray around y'all because y'all might be saying the wrong thing. Y'all might be praying a little bit too loud.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT. Gina, Alexandria.
Awesome ruler. Gentle Redeemer.
God with us, yeah. You are tuned into the spiritual part of broadcast. Where we want to take you in an in-depth
look. But when we put it all together, this is what we like to call you. Gina, Jesus.
Let's tune in. That's what, as Evangelist Ronald Bell takes you further,
you were born
into the Word
in a
manger,
of God.
But on a tree. Our lesson today is going to be entitled, There Need to Be a Turning. And we get our lesson text from the book of Timothy. And the fifth verse. And this is what it says, 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter, and the 5th verse. It says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. So this is why we chose this topic. We need to turn. There need to be a turning from the things of this world to the things of God. So this is why we're talking about there need to be a turning. And I'm talking strictly to the church. We know the world is going to go its own way, but we're talking to the church. And I have so much to cover in this lesson until I hardly know where to start it at. But we're going to start talking about God. I think if we know our God, he says in one portion of scripture, he said, if we know our God, then we can do exploits. Well, saints, it's time for us to do exploits. And we're going to talk about God. God is God. He is the principal subject of faith. Whenever we talk about faith or read anything about faith, we're referring to God, because God can do nothing for us without faith. And we know the faith of God is his word. He is a divine entity, a supreme being, a supernatural creator, a supervisor of space and allness itself. And what do I mean by allness itself? It means everything. So he's a supervisor of space and allness itself. He is creator. He is deity. He is omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, and he is eternal. This is our God, saints. He is not composed of matter or having a material existence. He has no physical existence. He's a spirit. God is simply limitless. He is absolutely unstoppable. He is all power. He is the truth, he is the word, he is spirit, and he is life. And he gives us the ability to be sons of God. He gives us sonship in his kingdom. He made us partakers of the kingdom through his son, the man, and also the God, Jesus Christ. We are royalty. We are adopted into the royal family of God. You know, we have been redeemed, if you will, so we look like, just like our Father. We talk like him. We live like him. If you're not lining up in this way, saints, you're not really God's child. Let's line up. You know, Jesus was given all power, both in heaven and in earth. And we find that in Ephesians 1, 20 through 23. And I'm going to read that. Ephesians 1, and I'm going to start at verse 20. Which he wrought, no, let's just start at, let's start at 19. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. He set him far above all principalities and powers and might and dominions and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. This is the power that he has given Jesus, you know, and God has fixed it so that we can have that same power that Jesus had. He wants us to know what is the riches of his glory in the inheritance in us, his saints. What is the riches of his glory? He wants us to know that. He wants us to know the exceeding greatness of his power. He wants us to know these things, saints. So what are we going to do? We need to take this scripture and we need to read it. We need to read Ephesians, the first chapter. We need to read that. He wants us to know the power that raised Jesus from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. I just read that to you. High above all principalities and mights and dominions. and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. You know? And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. I want you to see the vastness and the endless power and authority and the works of God and his kingdom. We need to be able to see that clearly so we'll know who we're following. See, some people have lost who they're following, so they don't know anymore. So you got to go back and refresh yourself. Go back and read over the word and see who we serve and how mighty he is. Principalities and powers and mights and dominions, that refer to various classes of angels, angelic beings. Christ is more greater than all these, all the things that he made, all these angelic beings. He made all that. He's greater than all the thrones that they sit on, the dominions, the principalities, the powers. And these things, all these things refer to angelic beings. The throne referred to angels who sits on thrones and rules, and rules and governs. Dominions refer to dominions and kingdoms, which these heavenly beings reign. They reign there. They rule there. Principalities refer to rulers, and powers refer to the angelic monarchs who exercise power and authority and influence while they're ruling and reigning. All these things has God has set up in his kingdom. So you need to look at the vastness of it. And I'm just hitting a little bit of it. I'm not getting a whole down deep into it, because it would take months and months to get into that, the kingdom of God and what it entails. I just want you to see how important it is for you to know what spirit you're of. There's none higher, none mightier. There's none more prevalent and more powerful. And there's none no more majestic, supreme, or superior than God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and the things of God. You need to know this, saints of God. So that's why I'm bringing you this lesson. And if we could see through this word, if we could see through this word, we could see that the things of the world is pale in comparison to the things of God. If you could see God through his word as he really is, then the things of this world would grow dim to you. You know, Satan couldn't trick us. He couldn't fool us. He couldn't hamper us. He you know, he couldn't take us by surprise, you know, if we knew who God was, if we could see through the word of God and see who he is. We talked last week about the ways that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is death. What the world do and what the world say and how the world dress, we seem to be falling in pattern with them doing what they say. But Romans 12:1-2 says we're not to be conformed to this world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And that's what this lesson is to help you do. Begin to renew the renewal process of your mind. You know, all these things that the world do and say, they may be appealing to you. It may seem okay to you. It may seem harmless. But how many know if God didn't say it, if he doesn't do it and tell us to do it, we can't endorse it. You know, we can't sign up with it. We can't go with it. You know, it's just like Adam and Eve. You know, they died spiritually because of disobedience, and they yield to temptation. We will also die spiritually if we follow the ways of the world and not the ways of God. Saints of God, God wants us to be real. He wants us to do the things that he has required and written down for us to do. And if we don't do these things, our soul will be lost. Nothing or no one can come near in comparison to all God is and to all he has made